Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey folks, welcome to In a Mississippi Minute. I am Steve Azar, always grateful, humbled, honored to get to be on Super Talk Mississippi into my seventh year. You guys are making me feel good. That's my guest today. He's just said, wow, he knows. We wrote together for 7 years, I would say at least. Reminding you that my pals at Superior Catfish, where is it grown? Right here in Mississippi. Go to superiorcatfish.com. Visit mississippi.org. Celebrates the birthplace of America's music. And I'm telling you, today's guest, he loves coming to the Mississippi, our Mississippi Delta, all throughout our state, and getting to perform all of his hits from his artist days to his songwriting days. It all collides at some point. He's one of the most prolific and prophetic songwriters that I've ever spent time in a room with, and we spent a lot of time together. He's a dear friend. He'll be here May 3rd and May 4th for our Mockingbird Music Series, which he'll be here the 3rd that night. But the festival is now part of 4 festivals here in Leland, Mississippi. So mark your calendars. My guest today and a bunch of hit songwriting pals of ours will be here sharing the stories behind their hits and other songs that'll blow your mind. There's no better way to hear the song from its origin, where it was born and raised, before it gets to another artist. It's just a special place, and they're special stories. So come check us out in Leland, Mississippi. The name of the festival overall is called the Heritage Wildlife Festival. It includes our Mockingbird Music Series, which is the music entity of the festival. And then we have Frog Fest, obviously Jim Henson in Leland, Mississippi, and Crawfish Festival. So there's going to be so much going on. It's crazy. So come check us out. Let me just do a little bit of an immediate release here. Our guest today is set to release a new single, Hanging Round, on March 22nd of 2024. He's the critically acclaimed singer-songwriter known for his, well, he's known for a lot of things, but this is a press release, CMA and Grammy Song nominations for A Broken Wing. Are you kidding me? Come on, Martina. And I Ain't That Lonely Yet, Dwight Yoakam. He's gearing to release this single, Hanging Round, like I said, on the 22nd of March. The release promises to captivate audiences. His signature blend of soulful vocals and heartfelt lyrics, I am telling you, you encapsulate this man with so many music genres. It's so authentic, from blues to country to rock to pop to folk. It doesn't matter. He sort of lives in it all. He's got country and fan rock bass fans, Americana fans all over the world. He's crossed over to the pond a number of years ago with his big single back in the day, This Is Me Missing You. It had a rebirth over there. Years later, I was around when he told me what was going on, and all of a sudden he blew up over there. If you think of Joe Bonamassa, Tina Turner, the Mavericks, Rod Stewart, he's written songs for all of them and with them. So let's just get to it right now with my dear pal, one of Music City's best ever, in James House.
Hey, brother, how are you?
You're always so subdued and relaxed, and I'm always wired.
You know, when you're talking like that, I'm going, man, this must be a cool guy. And then they look at me and go, that looks like John Denver.
Oh, I've never thought about that. Well, yeah, I was a big John Denver fan. I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, I still am. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, that man moved me. All right. Yeah. Well, it's good to see you. You're in your cabin. I love this place where you live. Obviously, you and I, we see musical instruments every time you behind us at all times. I see your place. Beautiful.
Well, I have those moments in the middle of the night when I'm like, oh, I have something. And, you know, so I like to have guitars and stuff close by. I can just kind of put down quick ideas here and there. So
does it never, you know, I think about songwriters like Mark Allen Springer who have to take this crazy break and go build something. Once he went and built, he got us all to help a little bit. I tried to stay away. He built literally a gymnasium with bleachers and bathrooms and a concession stand, had this clock and everything on his home property. And like that's, he was so eccentric, but he had to get away from writing. Has there ever been a time when your brain has shut down when it comes to writing songs ever?
I'm so great. It's like my hobby. So I don't really look at it as like having to get away from it. Although the one thing I have done, this is a big change for me. I bought 10 chickens. I have 10 chickens and I have a chicken coop out back. So I get up in the morning instead of, you know, hitting the studio quickly. I go out and visit with the chickens and collect eggs and, you know, do the chores in the morning. Cause I grew up on a farm. I grew up on a ranch in Southern Oregon. And that's what we did every morning. I mean, so, you know, I hated it as a kid, but
I was about to ask you
now at this age, you know, it's like, it's kind of comforting. It reminds me of those times and going out with my dad early in the mornings before the bus got there and, you know, helping him with the chickens. And then we ended up in Sacramento and I ended up going to high school there. And that's where I was so close to all that incredible music out of San Francisco. So I got all this great kind of a mixture of music from the Beatles to all the stuff out of San Francisco and the stuff my parents loved because they love music. Music was a huge part of our house. Mm. My dad and uncle sang cowboy songs when I was a kid growing up. So, yeah. And they were professionals and on television. And so all that stuff, it's just, and when I get up in the mornings, I'm just grateful for it. I don't know how else to put it. You know, I always tell everybody I haven't slept since I left their house in 1973. So, but it's all good. You know, it's an incredible way to go through life. And the older I get, the more grateful I am that I've been able to live inside a song.
I love how you just said that. I see you as this marathon runner because your energy has always been consistent and level. As a kid growing up, have you always been this way where you're sort of you're a thinker? I always feel like, what's going on? I always look, you know, just FYI, I'd look back at you a lot of times when you weren't looking at me and I would go, he's just thinking there, such calmness. And I've got like this storm going on in my head, you know? And have you always been this sort of reserved?
No, I've got the storm. Yeah, the storm's always there. The one thing practice I've tried over the years, and it works, is to go above the storm and look down. The ideas never stop from like, did I leave the coffee pot on?
Yeah.
How was that golf shot in 1974? I can't forget it. To music, you know how the brain works. So if you step above it and look down, sometimes that adds to the calm. Or some people sit on the side of the shore and their thoughts are a river going by. That's the other way to do it. So I practice those games, having that kind of mind that's always in, you know, and I make my life, my living, being creative. So that's, you have to take care of that creativity. It's a weird life. I mean, a lot of people just like, well, how does that work? You know, I don't know. I do know, though, and I always explain this to anybody I'm working with, is that when I got to Nashville, and I've always been around people that been very lucky. I've had great mentors from the time I was in Sacramento. I was mentored by a guy named Jack Traylor, who had a record deal on RCA. And he had a band called Steelwind. And he saw me play at a little club and said, and took me under his wing and took me down to San Francisco. And I got to record at Wally Heider's when I was 18 and set me on this good path of musicians around him. But when I got to LA, I've met more people and more mentors. But I lost my train of thought. Anyway,
no, your mentor.
I've been around really good people all my life, and that's a big part of it.
You usually don't use your train of thought ever. That's exciting to watch that. I just witnessed you losing your train of thought. That could be a first time.
Well,
ever.
I went all the way back to Sac and where
No, you're talking about your mentor and one of the guys that helped you along. Jack, would you say Jack?
Yeah, Jack Traylor was his name. And oddly enough, he was a English teacher at a local high school, La Sierra High School. Huh. And he was a singer-songwriter also. And he'd gotten a record deal with his band Steelwind. With RCA Records. And his guitar player was a guy named Craig Chiquiso. And Craig ended up being the guitar player for Jefferson Starship, because that's who his friends were, Jack's friends.
Wow.
So, and Craig's had a career out of all these years because of that. And I mean, I tell that, you know, there's a lot of, if there's anybody young listening out there now, it's all based on social media. But back then we played clubs. That's how we,
sure.
People discovered us. And in Sacramento, there was me and another guy named by the name of Roger Vidouris. He and I were kind of the two guys in town, and we both kind of competed. I ended up getting signed to Warner Brothers. He ended up getting signed to Columbia out of those, you know, days. So it was exciting times. And, and then I made it to LA and made a few records down there and did jingles and worked in the movie business for quite a bit. And then, I've been in Nashville since 35 years now. I've been in Nashville. So
all these names you're mentioning, if they were in the Mississippi Delta, they would be farming, because all our farmers, most of them, are Italian. I'm Steve Azar with my pal James House, his new song, Hanging Round, because every once in a while he likes to put it out. Oh, yeah. One of his songs instead of, you know, songs he writes with Joe Bonamassa. Songs he's written for so many greats like Rod Stewart, you know, you name it, Martina McBride, Dwight Yoakam, all these hits on himself. Sometimes he goes, I'm gonna put my own record out. So check it out everywhere you stream. My pals at Superior Catfish, they're a hit record. Go to superiorcatfish.com, born and raised, produced right here in Mississippi. Visit mississippi.org. Oh yeah, do I need to say more? Come on, plan a road trip.
Yellow here from
Steve Azar here, rolling into a Mississippi Minute. I got my pal James House on the horn. He's going to be here May 3rd at the Heritage Wildlife Festival, which is our Mockingbird music series. We've joined forces, and we're going to be doing, we're the music entity there in Leland, Mississippi. Come stay a couple days with us. The singer-songwriter thing is so cool, and you're going to get to experience where the song was born. First and foremost, we'll see you on the streets of Leland, Mississippi, home of Jim Henson and the Muppets, baby. Come on. Speaking of Mississippi, if you're going to have catfish, Superior Catfish, go to superiorcatfish.com. I mean, come on. James House has written a whole lot of hit songs. Superior Catfish sounds like a hit song. And visit mississippi.org. Oh, yeah, the birthplace of America's music. Come on. That's where it all started.
Huh? And back to Mississippi. And the reason I was really excited to finally move back out to Nashville, because this is where music... Here, Mississippi, Tennessee, this is where music, rock and roll, blues, country, I mean, it all kind of came together right here. And you can feel it. You can feel it in the air. You feel it in the air when you're going down Route 66 and you're going through Clarksdale and all that stuff. You feel it in the air. You feel it in the musicians. You feel it.
On Highway 61 when you get to, right?
61, yeah. So it's right. Like you feel it. I was on Route 66.
No, that's right.
But it's yeah, it's and I love, that's why I can't imagine living anywhere else. And one of the first trips I made was down Highway 61 just to kind of feel what was going on. And went, oh yeah. My goodness, I get it.
Yeah, we kind love of, it.
I didn't get it, but I
no, felt. You get it. You get it. I mean, no, I mean, you do get it. You know, the first song you and I ever wrote was Highway 61 together.
Yeah, yeah.
Still play it all the time, and I feel a little guilty when I play it because I'm going like, this is James and me. I mean, you know, every time I think about us, I always feel like that you should be right there with me, playing by my side.
And I am.
But instead, you are. I know you are. But instead, I've got Jason over there on the congas doing your parts. Yeah. Anyway, well, but such a blessing that first moment together when we got to do, we got set up to write together. I'll never forget it. You know, and then all of a sudden we were gone. I guess maybe a year passed or whatever. And then all of a sudden I'm calling you, you're calling me. We spent so much time together.
Yeah, well, I think we wrote 7 years worth of songs in 1 year.
Oh my gosh. It's so much fun.
It was great. It was an awesome time. And,
You know, I miss that.
You had your studio rocking, and it was a real productive, time over your house. And I know it was cathartic for you and for me too. So,
yeah, no, you were a lot of ways during that period of my career, my shrink. You didn't know that. I didn't want to break that news to you, but I felt like you kind of knew it. You know, you and I have gone through so many invigorous, incredible moments of our career, but we're both journeymen in the regard of our artistry, right? It hasn't been that we fit so perfectly in this molded box that was created in our time, you know, and genre wise. Now the boxes are, you know, you can bust through them and grab fans from all over because of the way that consumers listen to music now. Listeners listen to music. They have this opportunity to not just turn on the radio and go, oh, it's got to fit in that format. And you and I love radio. It's been good to us as songwriters and artists, and we love it. But the opportunity now for artists of all types to sort of find their way, still radio pays. It's the best way to make money, right? It's the way to make it.
And it's great to be on radio. I've been on, look, I grew up for Sam Thunder style on that AM radio and still love it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. Hey, Super Talk Radio, we're talking instead of, but Super Talk's got a multitude of music stations as well. So, it's been great. And I like being on this side of it a little bit, getting to understand the skinny a little better. Let's talk about you making new music.
Yeah.
Personally, you have been producing Zoe quite a bit. You've been producing other acts. You've been working with Joe Bonamassa. You've been doing a lot of stuff that has your fingerprints on it, but not your voice. So,
You know, I go where it's going to be fun for me. I was just real lucky. The Joe stuff, what happened with, they called me up, his producer, and said, you want to write with Joe in November? And it was like October. I said, yeah. And so when is he going to be here? And they said, November 3rd. I go, great. I'll see him in about 3 weeks. He goes, no, a year from now. I'm like, what? So, yeah. So I kind of put it aside. I was like a huge fan. A year goes by. And then sure enough, he calls about 2 weeks and Joe's going to be at their house. And I was only scheduled to write one song. And that was back in 2012, I think.
Right, let's talk about the one song.
12 for that album.
Say it again. I'm sorry I interrupt you. Say it one more time. I apologize. How many did you write?
I ended up writing about 12 with him that week. We were supposed to just write one. Anyway, I ended up writing the whole album with him. And since then, I've had about 25, got five on the new record. We just hit it off. Who knows why?
James, how are you writing? I mean, you and I wrote as much as you could possibly write. And we'd write five songs in four songs in a week. How many did you say? 12?
Yeah, well, it was not in one day. We ended up writing over. He kept coming back. So we write, Joe and I write two songs a day every time. So that's just how it works with him. And it's really a great productive. He comes with an idea and I come with an idea. And we finish each other's ideas. And so that's been a really great thing. And then I wanted to get back into country. But I wanted to know what was going on with new music. And if you listen to radio and stuff, you kind of hear where the younger country artists are bringing their influences in. And I really didn't, as an artist, it wasn't for me, because this is another voice coming out now for this generation. So I started looking around for a couple of artists to work with. I found this young artist over in Dixon County. His kid's real good. And then I discovered Zoe. And she was over in the UK at the time. And somebody said, you should listen to this girl sing. And I listened to her, and she's from Australia, but she was living in the UK. And I went, wow, this is a fresh voice. So we just started writing through the pandemic. And then since then, she's moved over to the United States. We found another producer to work with her by the name of Bonnie Diamond. And so writing wise, it's just incredible for me, because I get to step in this, bring what I do, like this 70s rock, stuff that I bring to the table, and with some lyrical ideas. But it's really great, because her other producer, Bonnie Diamond, brings in this wonderful female, and Zoe's got a real sense of what she wants to. So I've been able to step into that world and kind of watch. I kind of here's some music for you, and then the two of them go crazy and come up with these. And so this has been a real great journey on that end for musically. So entertaining writing for me is really it just takes another place and a place I want to go, because I love what's going on out there musically. I just thought I could help with it by working with somebody who's got that fresh outlook on country music. So that's what I've been doing also. And the other thing I do a lot these days is I work with vets. I do it twice a month. I go out.
Oh, yeah. I know you do.
Veterans. But back to new music. Yeah,
we're going to talk about that. That's important.
Occasionally, I like to put out a record. I don't know. I just go out in my studio and go something, So I'm always recording out there. It doesn't matter. And I've taken this real kind of laid back. I used to, I don't know about you, but you the same way. We go and let's make a record and get it done and go. I don't do that anymore. I go out and I'll put down an idea and walk away and let it germinate. And so this last song I just put out, this thing's called Hang Around. I went out in my studio and I went, oh, what's this idea? It just said 70s idea. So I turned it up and there was the music sitting there. So I wrote a lyric that morning. A friend of mine had been talking about an older friend of ours who had disappeared off the map. And I just thought about how time does this thing to people, And we've all had friends at this age. We lose friends and what time does to us, and some handle it better than others. So that's where that song fell out. And I put a solo on it, and I just had the best time. I knocked it out within, you know, it was an hour and 2 hours mixed, and thought, well, let's throw it out. So we did. And okay. The response has been amazing.
Let me just say this. Have you not felt that things you do let germinate, and once you get back to it, they happen fast because they sort of subconsciously, you sort of walk away, but I think you're sort of, there's things that are happening around you in your orbit, in your life, that make the song finally, you know, it's like you don't go in to write the song in the room pulls you in and goes, it's time. You know, and it, I just feel like some of those things you say, that we've watched each other get on a roll, and it goes so fast, it doesn't seem normal. And I'm talking about the recording process as well. Do you feel like those are the ones that are like, oh, yeah, that wrote itself. That happened very fast.
Yeah.
Even though it took a lifetime to get there.
Those, I mean, Ain't That Lonely Yet was written in 20 minutes, you know, Didn't think twice about it. I played it about a week later. I was at a little songwriting event, and somebody invited me up to sing a song. I thought, well, I'll try Ain't That Lonely. So I played it, and the place went crazy. And I went, oh, my goodness, got a song here. Broken Wing, you know, finished it that day. The only thing I knew about Broken Wings, it wasn't right for a guy to sing it. Yeah. And it just felt like it was written for my record, but I thought if a female artist sang this, it'd go through the roof. And it, sure enough, Martina got it, and went through the roof.
Martina didn't do a great job. You know what I'm saying? She never sings anything good.
Paul Worley, too, produced the record of...
We love Martina.
Nobody's touched that record.
No.
Like,
come on.
Those are like lottery hits, you know, when that happens. Yeah. For all those stars to line up, you know what it's like.
I'm Steve Azar with James House. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Check my friends out there. They're homegrown, produced right here in Macon, Mississippi. I'm Steve Azar.
I'm finally home.
To $20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
From the In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar. Right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
I'm Steve Azar with James House. Back with my pal. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Before we get started chatting away, you can make a lot of memories over Superior Catfish. Check my friends out there. They're homegrown, produced right here in Macon, Mississippi. And visit Mississippi.org. Grateful to be the music and culture ambassador of the greatest state in the union, Mississippi. Reminiscing of old times.
I remember a day at your studio.
Let's talk.
I want to talk about this real quick. Okay. When Reba called you, and I was there at the studio, and she was in love with your record,
Big Blue Sky.
Sunshine.
No, and, yeah, she was. You're right.
And it was great. It was just an awesome time to hear.
She was the guest VJ the night that Sunshine Video went number one.
Yeah.
And then we were playing about a handful of shows with her, and it was a weird time, but she had cut Big Blue Sky, and then her sister, Susie, cut Big Blue Sky. Because contemporary Christian artist, Susie McIntyre. There was a lot going on then. And I remember you and I were writing the song, Take Your Time, about my niece, Ryan. That's watching her. She walks out of the house in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and she's got makeup on. She jumps in this convertible with a guy. And the last time I had saw her, she was in braces and, you know what I mean? Just, And all of a sudden, I looked at her and said, what just happened? You know, and I remember coming back to you and going, James. And I remember Reba going, write us one. And I said, man, I think we're writing one for you. We just never pitched it to her. You yeah. got me thinking we should pitch it to her. I was going to go into a break, but I can fix all that because of the world of editing. And that's why I was trying to interrupt you. I never want to interrupt you. But I'll go back and handle all that later and handle our business. Let's talk about hanging around. Let's go a little further into it. Folks can get that by James House. Everywhere you stream, right?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can buy it from Apple or stream it on Spotify. We're getting tons of spins right now, which has really been great. Fans have jumped on it. I'm real reluctant to put out anything. There's no, you know, real reason for me except for just fun. I have no expectations at this point, except I just want it to be good. And I played it for a few people, and they went, This has got some charm to it, you know, maybe this. And anyway, and it was fun. So I put it out. Yeah. And I'm going to leave this one out there. I was so driven for so long and put out a lot of records and had a really good run. This just got to be a good reason for me to do it. More than anything, I love working with young artists and that's really the passion right now, and trying to help a young artist get up and, you know, try and let them know what I've been through and some of the pitfalls that can happen. But it's a totally different business now than when you and I were coming up through the ranks.
Well, Zoe, to me, has the makings of a lot of what we did.
Oh, yeah. She gigged a lot. She was on the streets busking, so with her family. Yeah. And so, yeah, so you put her on a big stage. She just played a big stage here in Nashville just recently and just tore it up. And you can tell when an artist belongs on a big stage, and she does, you know, because she's been up there and knows how to, and has had all that experience with artists. So really great to watch her come to life. And her new single's coming out April 5th. You need to talk to her.
What is that?
Her new single's called Jackie. And she's, a lot of good stuff's going on for Zoe right now. So it's really great. And to kind of like help her find the world, and I'll just like send her off to fly, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Zoe, everybody, Zoee, by the way. So you can check her out. She's got plenty of music out there right now. We're talking to James House, my man, great producer, singer, songwriter, artist. James, has your European thing, once you started to have all of that magic happened after the fact, way after the fact, when this DJ started doing a mix of This Is Me Missing You. Right. And then all of a sudden you're going over there a lot. You know, do you feel like that created an avenue to meet Joe Bonamassa and to meet Zoe? And did any of that add up to where you are now?
Not really. It just was a fluke deal to have This Is Me Missing You 20 years after it was like number five in the United States.
Oh, great.
20 years later, it went to number one over there, and this whole dance scene they had over there. So I went over and sold out like 21 shows and had a really great run. And it was great. I went over and recorded over to Abbey Road. So it was, if nothing else, it was just a great bucket list for me. But I didn't meet anybody over there. I met Zoe when I was back here in the States during the pandemic. So at that point, we're all like, well, what do we do? You know, so it was reaching out to folks to write with. And
I got you.
Joe, it just was a fluke. I'd written with his producer had put me with Beth Hart. And I'd written some songs with Beth Hart. So, and he produces Joe, his name's Kevin Shirley. So that's how that all kind of worked. You know, it's like it's just people connecting dots.
Sure.
You never know, you know, what seed is going to, you know, yield some growth or not.
Yeah. But when it comes to creativity, you're a dot that has a lot of, your dot is the center of a lot of universes. Have you ever thought about that? I mean,
I never think that way. I'm always just like a student of this craft.
And you're like the moon. The thing about you, the moon.
The thing I love about this being what we do is it's every day something new to learn, from recording to how to get a better sound to just where creativity lies in songs. You know, lately I like to study where songwriting more techniques and stuff and what people did. And so there's a lot of classes out there. I actually go study myself online and stuff and say, I was doing that naturally. I just didn't know what it was kind of stuff. I'd never tried that before. You know, so I try and immerse myself in continually learning because, you're born with this natural talent, but that's only the beginning. You have to keep refining it and honing it. And this business keeps you young. It keeps you like learning all the time. And the people it's brought me in with, some of the best people like you. I mean, you and I are great friends, and I consider you one of my best friends. And,
sure. Yeah, me too.
You know, it's like we've both come from the same deal, the same time of music. And you're right. It was a strange time of being able to express ourselves. We got to a point, but it's wide open. It's gotten to this place where, you know, so much is accepted.
I feel like that. We've been, both of us, I know you feel the same way. I'm going to speak for both of us. And I just feel so blessed and grateful because, you know, I never set my sights on a certain place. I just always wanted to do it. I feel like I've gotten more than I've deserved. And I really feel like I've worked hard and I continue to work hard, and I get a little offended. Well, not anymore. I don't get offended by anything, but back in the day, people always, you know, he's a hustler. They'd say, you're a hustler. Or they'd say some great art. And I said, what are they calling us? Because we give a freaking dog about our career, we'll do anything for it. So why are you calling us hustlers? Because we're working hard. And I go, is there another way? And everybody, they would say it about Rodney Foster. And they'd say it about, and I'd go, I guess it's a compliment. Because, you know, managers would go, I guess they would see us working and not stopping. No matter what got in the way to stop us, right? We just kind of dig a hole underneath and come out the other side. Or, you know, these days you can just come right through and be unvetted, but we won't get into that. I just got political. I love it. These days you come right through. I'm just coming into the country. But anyway, we always found a way. And I feel like as songwriters, it's the greatest gift because it allows us to write once we've settled in and absorbed some of the pains and the challenges, we're able to release it through a song. And it's the greatest therapy. And it, you know, when you write about your pain and it makes you feel good and then you're over it. It's nuts what we've been able and blessed to get to do it over our careers.
Oh, I agree. It's it kept me, when I was a kid, I always tell this, before I graduated from high school, I set my goal on learning 200 songs. So every night after school, I mean, I was in my bedroom learning another song and practicing. And it took me 2 years to get a repertoire of 200. So when I turned 18, I'd be able to go out and play because you couldn't play the restaurants I wanted to play. They were always in bars. You had to be 18 to get on stage. So, you know, that kept me off the streets. And you're right. It is free therapy in the sense. Plus it's just an art form I fell in love with. I still love it. And, you can never learn enough about it. I still put on a Beatles record or a Neil Young record or a Van Morrison, and it takes me right back to where I was. And it, you know, the great thing about music is that it helps us define our emotions, and that's what we all look forward to. And I've been lucky to live inside a song. And
yeah,
and I was up about 3 this morning with an idea.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, trust me, you've said 7 things that I want to just race over to you right now and write a full record. We're talking to James House. Let's take a quick break. Hanging Round is his new single. Comes out March 20th. Oh, it came out. Sorry.
Came out. Yeah.
Came out. You know what? I can't get my months right. It already came out March 22nd. You guys are probably going, Steve, what's going on here? Are you running an old show? We're not. I can't keep up with the dates anymore. It's that part of my life where I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, it's just tomorrow. As long as tomorrow comes, well, not like Garth's never comes. Come on. We want it to come. Speaking of, before I leave you, my pals at Superior Catfish, homegrown, produced where else? Mississippi. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Great folks over there in Macon, Mississippi. And visit Mississippi.org. We are the birthplace of America's music. And I love it when my pal James House, one of the most prophetic and prolific songwriters in history to me, in my mind, and my mind is sometimes correct. In this case, it is. It's a 10 right now. It's usually a 1, but it's a 10. He understands the value of coming down Highway 61 and letting it breathe. We'll be right back.
Up to $20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first served. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC.
Patriotism.
Right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
When I was 16, I knew everything. Opportunity grew on trees. I'd taste them, waste them, do it all again. 10 feet tall, invincible. I fell short on principle. Rebellion, a hellion. Yeah, that was me back then. Burned by my mistake. The phoenix I rose from the flame. Now I'm doing it right. I saw the light. Sun came.
Hey folks, I'm back with James House. His new record, Hanging Round, check it out where you stream. You can buy it on Apple Music. Did I just say that? You can actually purchase a song. Come on, everybody. Come on, buy something from us. We love it. Speaking of buying something, if you want to put it down your palate and really enjoy it, it's Superior Catfish. There's catfish, and there's Superior Catfish. Do the math. Check them out. Great folks over there in Macon, Mississippi. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Visit Mississippi.org. We'll have a big old smile on its face because it celebrates the arts as part of its, you know, as part of its mission. And we are the birthplace of America's music, and we are celebrating that at the Mockingbird Music Series under the umbrella of the new Wildlife Heritage Festival. It's a good fit with the Crawfish Festival and the Frog Fest. You know, Jim Henson and the Muppets, they're from our Mississippi. I want you to come down to Leland May 3rd and May 4th and check out James and a lot of our friends do what they do best. It's just an amazing thing. Even as a singer-songwriter myself, I know how blessed I am to be in the room with some of the greatest to ever do it. And we're always learning, like James is talking about. James spends a lot of time with our vets. It is something that he has made. It's part of his cause. And I truly think that it's just something that's so rooted in him. That it's a beautiful thing. And when he talks about it, he gets emotional. I see it. And so, James, talk to me about what you get to do with our vets on a normal basis now.
Yeah, I do about 25 to 28, 20, 30 a year, right, with vets with this organization called Boulder Crest Retreats. And the organization I work with is Songwriting with Soldiers. And if there's anybody out there, we also have first responders come in, the police, ambulance drivers, anybody that's gone through some traumatic stuff are welcome to this program. It's free. It's not government. It is all run by vets who've all been through the program too. So you can be trusted with these guys. So what my little part of the deal is we go write a song with the vets towards the end of the, there's a 7-day stay, and it's an incredible experience. I mean, so yes, it's a big part of my life to watch the actual, you know, when you first tell them, you walk in, there's eight vets there and they're sitting around, they've been there for a week and you say, we're going to write a song. And they just kind of look at you, what, huh, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but you know, look, there's tears and hugs by the end of the night. You know, it's an amazing process because it's all their words. So there's about 10 of us songwriters that do it around the country. There are 12 facility set up just for Warrior Path is what it's called, with through bouldercrestretreats.org. And anybody can go try and sign up and be on it. There's all over the country. So I go from Maine to Georgia to out in California to Washington to Texas and all over the country doing these. So it's a big part of my life. What can you say about the veterans and the people they sign on the dotted line to give their lives for us? Now, my dad was 100% disabled, and my brother was 20 years in the Army.
Wow.
And I've never, you know, forgotten. And they allowed me to go write songs. I wrote. I didn't have to go serve. And you know, you have a big place in your heart for these men and women and their families, because their families sacrificed just as much. I think it's like 1-3% of the go out and defend us when times get tough. And there's no shortage of, and there's the police have been coming in too, which is really incredible.
Yeah, that's great.
There's no place for them to turn and been a great program for them to go in and find some, you know, kindred spirits of people who've been through hell like they have, you know.
You're letting them, you're giving them the avenue for that release that you can't get unless you're writing a song. Anyway, James, you're the best. I love you, buddy.
Right back at you, buddy. Love you too.
We'll see you May 3rd.
We'll see you soon.
Heritage Wildlife Festival, Mockingbird Music Series, Frog Fest, Crawfish Fest. There'll be food. There's going to be all sorts of stuff. Pal James House, many others from Music City, big prolific hit songwriters will all be here. And I get to hug James on Mississippi soil. I used to hug him on Nashville soil, but it's, you know, better when I'm home. Really appreciate him taking the time to join me.
Thanks for having me, brother.
You're the best. Superior Catfish is the best. Check him out. SuperiorCatfish.com and visit Mississippi.org. Oh, it sounds like a song. Plan a road trip. We'll see you later. I'm Steve Azar.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time. To $20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.